I'm here with a very, very special guest who needs no introduction, but I'm going to introduce him anyways because you guys can't see him. Gilbert Montoya!
Hello.
All right, man. Thank you so much for being here, dude.
Thanks for having me here.
So, your name is Gilbert Montoya.
Right.
But you have an album where your name is Gilbert Louis Ray.
Yeah.
What's that?
Okay, so Louis Ray is just my middle name. My full name's Gilbert Louis Ray Montoya.
Okay, because Louis Ray does sound much cooler on an album.
Yeah, I mean, when you read it, too, I thought so.
You could just put Louis Ray and people are like,
Originally, it was the four names, but you say that as you're playing a gig, and you say it fast, and people are not going to remember. Mm-hmm. So I just thought I'd give people a break and give them three.
Yeah, man.
Three names instead of four.
I love it, man. I love it so much. Yeah, well, I've been wanting to get you in here for so long. We've been back and forth, and I'm so happy you finally get were able to come in. You told me a few months back that you created a solo album, and I remember thinking, okay, cool. I think like 2 days later, I checked it out, and I was like, oh my god, this is a great album.
Thank you. I really
loved it. It's called My Best Friends Call Me Gil. How did you come up with this concept?
For real, my best friends do call me Gil.
I don't call you Gil. What does that mean?
No, I mean, like when I'm working and stuff, because we met at work.
We met through work, yeah.
I just say Gilbert.
Yeah.
Because it's easy when you're filling out time cards or whatever. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
for sure.
My dad is named Gilbert. Mm-hmm. So people growing up would call me like Gil Jr. or Gilbert Jr. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm technically not a junior, he doesn't have any middle names.
Yeah.
But I was only a kid, so it was like, oh, he's junior, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But then, I got older, and everyone just started saying Gil without even me telling him to.
Yeah.
And I liked it better, so I went with that. It kind of separated me from the Gilbert Jr. thing, you know?
Yeah, my nickname in high school was Lugie, because my last name is Lugo, and I didn't like it because it sounded like a booger.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Like a loogie. Yeah.
Yeah. It was terrible. But I wanted to bring you in because I checked out your album and I thought it was so good, man. I love folk music, and that's what I'm really getting into right now. We talked about like Leonard Cohen. There's this one artist, Johnny Flynn, that I really like. I think I mentioned him to you.
Actually, I listened to his album.
What did you think?
I listened to like the first five songs because one right after the other was good.
Yeah.
I really liked it. Yeah, it kind of reminded me of the way I bring the musical part together. Mm-hmm. You know
exactly,
what I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
So I was impressed.
And I think, like him, he plays a lot of his own instruments. Like, do you usually play, like, the guitar, the banjo, and, like, most of the instruments in your album, or is that other people?
Most of them, yeah.
Yeah, because you got harmonica in there, is that you?
Right, that's me, yeah.
There's a trumpet at one point, or a trombone?
Not me, though.
Oh, okay,
the trumpet I brought my good friend Eric Marone in.
Yeah, well, he's great. Which song is that one? I forget.
It's track 8 called Sure Done It Good This Time.
Yeah, and I love that song. It's such a great song.
Yeah, it's about just me drinking too much around the one I love.
And... Yeah, you told me a lot of these songs were built by whiskey and gin.
And I'm not really ashamed or embarrassed to say because I've learned and grown from it, but a lot of my relationships early on, like early 20s, I'm 28 now, were kind of around, going out, getting messed up, and loving hard, but booze and love usually don't work together. At least, well, for me, it didn't. Maybe for some people it does. But
that's the general consensus.
So, I write about that stuff.
For sure.
I write about my issues with it. And
yeah.
So.
But it comes off as such a beautiful, like, ode to your life and living. And I always forget that you are one of the few people that I run into in Los Angeles who are actually from Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of your songs are themed, but also inspired by the city itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like traveling throughout the city for your music. You even have one called On the Road, which is about, I'm assuming, traveling shows and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What's that like? There's even, the line is even like, I know where my home is, but the road is where I want to be, something like that.
Yeah, that's the tail end of the chorus bit or whatever.
Yeah.
That song I wrote in 2014 when my band, so I play banjo in a bluegrass-esque kind of band.
I guess what genre would you consider your music?
It's like, I mean, it has an Americana vibe to it, but I feel like I borrow from rock a bit, a lot of like old school style progressions, I guess, growing up, I listened to a lot of things from the 1950s and 60s. Mm-hmm. Going to my dad's on the weekends, he would always just play that stuff. And it really grew on me. Then the whole bluegrass country thing came late, actually, when I was like 21. Yeah.
I think as at a young age, it doesn't really resonate with you as it does.
No, I hated country.
Oh, are you kidding me?
And the banjo was the most annoying sound in the world.
I remember the first album my dad ever gave me was a Dean Martin album. And I remember thinking, Dad, this is old people music. This is music for old people.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I was like in high school and college where I was like, well, this is actually beautiful and this is amazing. And it hits you much stronger. And I think you have to sort of warm up to certain music. You have to become a little wiser to understand certain music and certain songs and all that. And that's just through time, you know, and that's just natural.
Yeah. What was the question though?
Yeah, so what is it like traveling on the road?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I don't get to do it as much as I'd like to, but from mm-hmm. the times I have, it really affects me in a very positive way. And it's great. You're always meeting new faces, new people. My favorite part is trying new foods and all that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
you get yourself in situations that you wouldn't normally in just the regular city life.
Sure.
Because you're out there and, you know, you're in the Midwest or you're up in Northern California mm-hmm. or something or... We drove, yeah, so 2014, we drove to Tennessee from L.A. Took us like 4.5 days maybe.
Wow.
To play a festival. And like, I liked it. I mean, it sucked sitting in a van for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked that I was there with my friends mm-hmm. and we were there because we wanted to play music out elsewhere.
Yeah.
And
did you notice that you had fans outside of Los Angeles, or are most of these people just coming to like a show because they want to come see a show, or
it's both, yeah. both. Like, I mean, because of social media nowadays,
yeah, for sure.
People, you know, tags and shares and all that, and people know your name, and then they listen to you on YouTube or whatever, and then you go to a place where you're playing with an act that's from that town, their fan base or friends like your act. You know, they're like, when are you coming back to this town? You know, and we don't travel as much anymore. But when we would, it was just great. We're meeting new people all the time.
Do you have any stories about meeting a fan or meeting someone who was either very supportive or a bit much or kind of rude?
You know what? One time, yeah, it wasn't on the road, but it was here in L.A. We played this like open mic. Actually, it's called a Kulak's Woodshed. In North Hollywood, I think.
God, that sounds sketchy.
It's not, though. It's actually really cool. It's not even a woodshed. It's just like a small
Nothing
building.
Nothing ever is what it really is in L.A.
Yeah.
It's always something else.
I know. But we go in there and we're playing. And then it's one of those... It's an open mic where they also live stream it. So somebody... We just started our song and somebody stood up in front of everybody. Like right in front of us. Like 2 feet. And she gets both of her fingers, her index fingers, and plugs them in her ear and just, like, shaking her head no.
What?
Like it's too loud or something. Or I
don't
know what it
was. Why
was
she even there?
I don't know. I think maybe she was a little intoxicated. But the owner of the place.
Do you remember what song you were playing when that moment happened?
Yeah, it was like one of those faster banjo-picking bluegrass songs.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
And maybe it was just... Too much of a ruckus.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know what? Then get the hell out of there.
No, yeah. Well, yeah, she got the hell out of there.
Yeah, good.
And the owner, like, stopped the whole performance and was like, this is completely rude. Sorry, guys. Yada, yada.
What?
Start over, please, for
oh
us.
Gosh.
And so she left. And then we
kept playing
even louder, right? And then, and then people loved it. So
yeah,
it's like,
for sure.
There's just sticklers out there for
I
whatever
mean, look,
reason.
Look, there's always going to be haters. And I think the haters is what makes you stronger, honestly. I think you have to have, like, that criticism to understand, like, kind of give you your backbone so you can know what you got to do, you know.
What's
what I mean?
That saying? I don't even know if it's saying, but
sure.
Like,
go ahead and butcher it.
You have you can have the juiciest, most ripe peach in the entire world, but there's going to be somebody out there who just doesn't like peaches.
I love peaches. You ever remember James and the Giant Peach?
Yeah.
Remember how good and juicy that peach looked whenever they
Yeah,
it
really
Wasn't
was.
It like the best?
Yeah.
Didn't it look like the best peach ever?
It had like the proper fuzz.
It
and
had everything.
Yeah.
It looked like it was creamy and like sugary. It had like everything. And they made it into drinks, into food. It was insane.
Yeah. And transportation.
Oh, yeah. Well, how can we forget? Yeah. A house. Yeah.
Made me wish my aunts were mean.
Excuse me?
Well, because his aunts were mean in the movie.
Oh, yeah. Your aunt. Yeah, his aunts. Yeah. Anyway, so besides Los Angeles and, you know, girls who have given you inspiration for, you know, this music, what inspired you to make this album? Is this your first solo album?
This is my first solo album. Okay. So I love recording, I love mixing, and I love the studio, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're an artist, you're a musician, so you got it. You your heart told you, all right, it's time to make an album. I have all these songs in my head. I got to stop putting them on paper and start putting my voice into it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it definitely, for me, it was important to just lay it down, at least these 10 tracks that I have a lot of songs that I've written, but I never really got them together and made a body of work that, you know, on a professional level.
People, have you always been, like, musically inclined? Like, do you have family that's...
Yeah, I got the musical side from my dad, for sure.
Oh, he's also a musician?
Yeah, he's actually more of a singer. He plays a little guitar, but he was always singing growing up and playing all the music, like I said. But and then he'd let me, like, strum on the guitar or pull out the keyboard, and I don't know what notes are at 10 years old or whatever. Sure. But wanted to make some sort of sound.
You understood tone and rhythm and all that.
Yeah, I knew how it made me feel, for sure. The music, all the music that I liked growing up. Yeah.
So once again, it's called My Best Friends Call Me Gil.
Mm-hmm.
The cover of the album is a picture of your grandfather.
That's right.
You said he passed away.
He passed away in 2012.
Oh, okay. Sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah. Well, it's been some time. But. The reason why he's on that cover is because growing up as a teenager, he let me basically have one of his spare rooms.
Oh, really?
And I put a drum set in there and a PA and my amp and guitar and just a bunch of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
But as a teenager, you're most likely going to be making racket and not masterpieces.
For sure.
But it was a learning time for me. And whether I knew that or not, I think he knew that. And he's like, he just let me have that creative space. And so I feel like if I didn't have that creative space to bang on drums and play guitar and be loud and obnoxious and just do all these, you know, fast teenage style punk songs, whatever, that really do suck.
Luna's playing with a squeaky toy right now. I apologize. For those of you who don't know, Luna's the podcast dog. And just ignore her while Gilbert tells us beautiful story about his grandfather.
But yeah, so like the band that I'm in now, so I guess I should clarify that they're two separate acts. My solo work is just me, and then I'm in my band Wicklow Atwater, where I play the banjo, and that's my primary job in the band, and I also do write. But anyway, going back to the room and my grandpa, the Wicklow Atwater, that band, we've been in other bands together growing up. I've known these guys since ninth grade in high school and stuff, most of them that are in the band. And so they would be there too. So they, in a way, grew with me. And we'd jam at each other's houses and stuff like that. So he's on the cover as a way to kind of unofficially, even though he's passed and he'll never know that I did this, but it's like a thank you. Like, you know, he gave me the shot to grow musically.
It's like a love letter to, you know, your grandfather. Yeah. That's amazing, man.
Yeah, so
it's a great picture of him, by the way.
I don't know where that picture came from, but when he passed away, you know, people do memorials and they have like a collage of pictures or whatever sometimes.
Yeah.
And I saw that and I was like, that's a cool picture.
That's a cool picture, yeah. He looks a lot like you too.
That's what people say.
Yeah, yeah. But okay, cool. So what do you think is the most important thing, not so much for a musician, but also for an artist, is to understand within yourself, like consciously or mentally, emotionally, what's something that you've noticed that you need to sort of strive for as an artist?
Within my own stuff, I'm always critical on my singing, like self-critiquing them, because I hear really, really good singers around town and stuff. But I do the best I can. But But what's important for me,
I mean, it's not always about the, like, sometimes it's the lyrics. I mean, you ever hear Tom York? He's not a great singer, but he's a great lyricist.
Morrissey from the Smiths. It's in the choir taste too. Yeah, I love it, but you know.
But you say the most important thing to you is what?
I want the words to be decent, you know. But I also want it to sound catchy. Like that's my main thing. I just don't want to be bored playing my own songs, and that's just how I feel about
I noticed that too. I noticed that your tone and your rhythm is never flat. it always seems to kind of like, it's always like you're keeping the ball up. You're keeping the ball in the air. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Most yeah. of them are upbeat. I have yeah. a few slower numbers and stuff, mm-hmm. but, most of the time I like to keep it upbeat.
But, yeah, I think you've really done a good job with this. I think it's A+ album, and I'm gonna try to promote as much as I can, man, because I think it's really good.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah. Well, awesome, man. Awesome. If I did play one of the songs at the end of the show, which song would you think I should play?
You should play your favorite one on it.
Letting You Down, Sure, Done It Good This Time, or City of Angels. If I had to choose one of those, which one would you think would be a good closing?
Maybe. Oh my God!
I know.
Maybe,
it's like I suppose, a kid at a candy shop.
I suppose City of Angels.
Okay, cool. I thought so too. I love that song. Yeah.
But if you wanted me to play, we can choose one or the other. One.
Yeah.
One.
If you could, you think you can play a song for us now?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Which one would you think you can play? It could be a song you've been working on, an old song, anything you want to play.
Maybe a song I'm working on, and then whatever track you choose.
Sure.
From
sure.
the album.
Yeah. Go ahead. You wanna set it up?
Sure. Yeah.
Cool, man. Let's do it. Go ahead.
Okay.
So what song are you going to be blessing with us today?
So this is a song called Beginning of Being.
Beginning of Being.
Like just being.
Okay, sure.
It's just like,
which is very hard to do these days.
Yeah, I mean, after I wrote it, I was like, oh, actually, you know, I'm not just being. I'm still trying to figure it out. But
that's beautiful.
It's like...
sad and beautiful.
I went through like some crazy like depression thing last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I... stumbled upon Joseph Campbell.
Okay, who's that?
He's like a sort of a philosopher.
Okay, yeah, educator, he sounds familiar. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Man, it's just like when it comes to talking about what he talks about, mm-hmm. it's hard to articulate it the way he does. But you could just say it's a lot of soul touching subject matter.
Sure.
Anyway, so
that really resonated with you.
Yeah, and it helped me because I was pretty down, and then it was just, it kind of helped me get back into
that's
the
beautiful,
whole
man.
Positivity of life.
I'm glad you found that.
Yeah, so the song is about letting go of the past and starting to just be what I'm supposed to, you know what I mean? Because a lot of the songs are of my past, and most of them are about one gal. Some of it's about drinking, and I don't even drink like I used to anymore. I'll sip a little bit of whiskey like I am now. But it's kind of like a moving on song in a way, you know?
Great, man. Let's hear it.
Okay. Okay, cool. There's a road paved out in front of me. Is it for me to run? And if you ask me what took so long, well, my back to driving memories, leading my days along in a haunting breeze, whirls through my knees when I think of love and what it means. So what's it mean? I ain't no expert, but it cut me at the seams. Wait, I wait on time, doing away with opportunity, cause too much on my mind won't set me free. Well, here's the trying, ain't it easy, have the best of things, stir up, I've got a ride, when it goes to show, all things must end, I already know, but I still pretend, if not more than friends, I can't go on happy, though our love is dead. You want their company to go back when you were, those days are gone. And so I've learned, when you let go of those not to be, spread them wings like a bird, then it goes to show, all things must end. And so you know, no need to pretend, the absent aren't friends to me, for they still go on after all is done and said. Thank you. just begun. I'm afraid the path in front of me has room here just for one that waits in me. I pull the rope with my heart tied to my memories, leading my days in woe and a haunting breeze. Worlds meet a hurt when I think of love and how it hurt. It don't mean a thing to me. Here I smirk to think I'm glad our love is dead. Here I smirk to think I'm glad our love is dead. Here I smirk to think I'm glad our love is dead.
Oh, man. Dude, thank you so much, man. That was amazing. That was
I'm just
awesome.
Getting over a cold, so whoever's listening, I just want you to know I still got the sniffles.
Dude, honestly, man, that was amazing. That was such a great song. Thank you so much for doing that.
Oh,
that
thank
was,
you.
That was perfect. Yeah, that was a beautiful song, man. Thank you so much for doing that. How long... Okay, let's just talk about a song in general. How long does it take you to write a song?
Oh, I guess that just depends. I mean, like, I've written a whole song in 20 minutes. Or I have a song that took me like 3 years to get it together.
I guess
you know?
It depends who you are at the time and what you're dealing with and if you're feeling inspired. Because if you're inspired, you can write a song in like, what, 5 minutes, you know? Like, yeah, I can probably write a sketch in like 30 minutes, you know? And that's like a 7-page sketch. But sometimes I can write 3 pages and it takes me like 2 weeks, you know what I mean? So it really just takes
time. It depends
time.
On how you're feeling, I suppose. Yeah. If you're really, really about whatever you're feeling at the time, you can get it all out in 10 minutes or whatever.
Well, that was beautiful, man. That was really great. Can I ask you something?
Anything.
Would you consider making a theme song for this show?
I would love to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I would
like
love
with,
that.
With words, though, and all that? Or?
However you want. I mean, like, it's called Conversations from a Room.
Yeah,
so
we, like,
you...
mention the phrase
sure.
in it or something.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, like, just a few seconds just to introduce the show. Yeah. Yeah, just a little intro.
Yeah,
yeah for sure.
I would love to.
Oh, please.
Totally.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, man.
Well, then, let's do that. Okay. Let's do that. Well, you know what, man? Let's get to the good stuff. So I like to ask the guests, what's one of your favorite movies? What's one of the worst movies you've ever seen? And what's the last movie you saw that really stuck to you? Or TV show that you've been watching that really stuck to you, that really spoke to you?
Okay.
Let's start with favorite movie of all time.
Favorite movie of all time? Yeah. Oh my gosh, there's so many of all time, though.
Yeah. It can be a few. What's like some of your
a few?
Favorite movies? Yeah. What's
I mean,
your favorite
like,
movies?
I know it's cliche,
what
but
movies
I...
do you think about all the time that you're like, yeah, this movie really speaks to me? What's the cliche one?
The cliche one? Star Wars.
Oh, I mean, of course.
I mean,
man.
You know,
yeah,
A New Hope
yeah.
to through Jedi.
Yeah,
the first
for sure.
three, you know. But
What do you think about the new ones?
I enjoy them.
A lot
but...
of, there was. It's funny. I didn't know that what's the last one that came out? The Last Jedi?
Yeah. Of the new ones, that's my least favorite.
Yeah, because there was that was like 50-50. People either hated it or they loved it.
Force Awakens was a nice little
rebirth sure,
of
sure.
it. You know, I liked it a lot, to be honest. A lot of people
cast,
were comparing it
story.
To A New Hope because it did kind of have
really
that
is.
Style.
I
but...
mean, even The Last Jedi is very similar to what's the second one?
Empire.
Empire Strikes Back. Yeah.
You know, I feel like there was too much comic relief in The Last Jedi.
Yeah. Yeah.
They
could have
really
they
wasn't
could have
that funny.
Botched the entire casino scene. You
yeah,
know, when they go
yeah,
back,
totally.
Yeah, that everyone always says that whole movie could have been just fine without that whole casino
yeah.
scene. I don't know what that was exactly for. I think maybe they just needed like an A story, a B story, and a C story.
Yeah.
You know, I think they just wanted a little bit of different aspects to add to it, just to kind of you know keep the audience engaged. But I just think it was a little bit too far left. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you of the new ones. I think as when for the Disney ones, I thought they did pretty good for Rogue One. I liked,
Rogue One was great.
Even though it was like a side story,
I
thought it was really.
I thought
cool.
Rogue One was really really cool. And I love the cast. I thought it was really cool. I rewatched that one recently, and I think I liked it much better the second time actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think what's really good about it is that they incorporate aspects of like the Force. But there's not one Jedi in the movie.
Mm.
Well, they have that scene at the end with Darth Vader,
yeah.
which is probably
well,
the best
but he's,
scene.
He's not a Jedi. Well, he really is at heart.
Who? Darth Vader?
Darth Vader.
Well, he's not a Jedi? Oh, well, oh.
Technically, he's a Sith.
I mean, like, anyone with a lifesaver. Oh, okay. Yeah. I just say Jedi. Yeah, oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. He's not a part of the rebellion.
He's a fallen Jedi.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was a Jedi. But do you consider the 2000s part of
the prequels?
List? Yeah, the prequels.
I liked them.
Yeah, they're fun. How old are you?
28.
Yeah, I'm 27. So because the time they came out, they were like any film was a good film. You just wanted to go see a movie. You know
yeah,
I mean?
I remember when Phantom Menace came out, and I begged my dad to take me.
I know. Yeah.
I didn't even have to beg. He was going to do it. But I remember during the lightsaber scene with Darth Maul and Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, I was like really, really like excited.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I looked to my right, and my dad's like,
what?
Knocked out.
That's just dads for you. Then.
Yeah.
That's just dads for you. Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
But that's okay as long as you liked it. That's what's important. Yeah, yeah. I love that movie. I remember thinking, like, I walked out and I was like, because it was like my real first Star Wars movie. Because before that, you know, it's like what we were talking about with music. Like, it didn't really speak to you the same way because it felt a little, it was a bit dated.
Yeah.
So it felt like it just didn't resonate the same way. So when the new ones came out, yeah, it was very flashy and blockbuster-esque and, you know, and CGI up the wazoo. But as a kid, you're just like, give it to me. I want it all.
Yeah, yeah, you totally. I mean? When it comes to, like, trilogies, well, even though we're talking about more than the trilogy, but the original trilogy, like for Back to the Future, I love the first one the most, you know? So I like A New Hope.
Yeah.
I like the first Jurassic Park.
Oh, for sure, yeah, like, yeah. Yeah,
I don't know. It's just something about the first ones always. Well, yeah, set I mean, the, yeah, the mood. And
of
the,
course, I mean, it's so classic. Hard. It's so hard to. It's very very rare when you see a movie and the second one is either better or if not the same. You know, Back to the Future is one of those. Like one and two are pop. I think two might be the better one. Yeah. Not better, but it's more popular one.
Yeah, well, flying cars and hoverboards.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
As a kid, I loved that. I was
and the fact that they merge both of them. Yeah, I mean, it's insane. Another good example for like trilogies. I remember, you know, like the Austin Powers movies.
Yeah.
I think one, two, and three. I think each one got funnier and funnier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
As a kid, I liked them.
Those
all
are my
of them,
favorite
all
comedy. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
But you know, I'm not just into. I'm mostly into like comedies and sci-fi.
Sure. Yeah, me too. Fantasy. I love that's like. Do you like the Marvel movies and all that?
But I'm not into that.
No, you don't like any of that?
The when Spider-Man came out was cool with Tobey Maguire.
Oh yeah, you're going old school.
I like
I'm
those.
Talking about the new MCU, like the
I just
like
can't get
Tony Stark, like
it's
sorry,
just too much.
Robert
for
Downey
me.
Jr.
Yeah, it's too much.
And, that's too much.
And
Star
I was never
Wars, isn't?
Really into like superheroes.
Yeah, oh, I love. I see, I read comic books,
but I like
too.
Spider-Man and I like Batman.
Yeah, Batman's cool.
The Tim Burton Batmans were really cool.
Yeah, yeah. The original with Michael Keaton, that was the first Batman movie.
The
Jack Nicholson was
With Joker. And even the sequel was cool with Penguin Danny DeVito.
Yeah, yeah. Did you not like the Christopher Nolan Batmans? Like Dark Knight? Because that's supposed to be like...
You know what? I liked the first Dark Knight with Heath Ledger.
It was a nice
fresh take on the insanity of the Joker.
A lot of people say that's their favorite like superhero movie of all time.
That's a good one. Yeah, that one I can get down with. And the first Spider-Man for sure, and maybe the second one. And,
cool, man. Are you a collectible guy? Do you collect like Star Wars memorabilia or comics or like action figures?
No, you're
not into collecting.
I like had the toys and stuff growing up. And
sure.
I had a lightsaber collection growing
up.
Oh,
I have a lightsaber now. I have one now.
I have.
It's actually the Obi-Wan lightsaber.
It's the best one.
Yeah, yeah.
You always go by
one.
The hilt and how they look.
Yeah, and the handle.
He had the best looking one.
He had the best one, and he has the best feel too. Yeah,
yeah.
We're still talking about the lifesaver, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So, what is probably the worst movie you've ever seen?
The worst movie? Oh my god! I mean, it's so bad that I love it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Okay, because I always say, if you can't think of a worst movie, what's like your guilty pleasure film? That's just so stupid and fun.
Well, I think a lot of people would agree. The Room.
Oh, of course. Yeah, we talked about this. I talked about this a few weeks ago. Yeah, but The Room. Tommy Wiseau. Yeah. That movie is like a cult classic.
Yeah, but The Room was just so just crazy.
Yeah, it was
and
nuts.
Like, Tommy or Johnny is the character.
Yeah, yeah.
His lines are just...
How did you come around seeing it? Did a friend tell you, hey, you have to watch this movie?
A friend randomly had it. His brother had it. And
like on DVD?
On DVD.
Before it was big. Before
it was big, for sure.
How did he know about it?
I don't know where he got it. Oh, he worked at a movie or you
like
know,
a Blockbuster or something.
Yeah,
it had to be one of those.
Yeah, and he brought it home one day, and then and then showed his little brother. I'm friends with his little brother,
uh-huh.
And his little brother is like, "We got to watch this
movie."
Oh wait,
how old were you when you first saw it?
18, maybe 19.
Okay, how old was
it?
It
had been
brother?
Out for a minute now. What?
How old was the little brother?
Well, he's a couple years younger than I am.
But if you were 18, he was probably like, what, 15?
17 or 16.
Okay, because like that's a pretty rated R movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And now that I think about it.
But that little brother.
So you saw it before the hype. You saw it not knowing anything about it. You just thought, oh, it's.
But I feel like it had been out for quite some time, too, though.
I didn't hear about it until college. So I was probably like, yeah, 18, 19. Yeah. But I only heard little things. It wasn't until I moved out to Los Angeles where I heard it was like everyone talked about it.
Yeah.
Everyone, like people had, they were doing screenings. I remember I went to one here in Los Angeles and I met Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah. And I have a few friends that met him.
Wait, what?
I have a few friends that have met him.
Because he goes to all the screenings in Los Angeles and you could just talk to him. You could just meet him and he's super weird and perfect.
Have you ever heard of Tim and Eric? Awesome.
Yeah. Tim and Eric. Yeah.
He was on a one or two episodes.
Sure. I would believe that. Yeah.
Yeah. He fits that.
Oh,
humor.
For sure. Yeah, yeah. And he probably
even
it.
If he's not trying to be funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But
the one of those that I saw in college that was similar to that, you ever heard of Troll 2?
No.
Oh, you never seen it?
Those.
It's kind of
an animated
like,
movie?
No, it's like it's regular live action, but it's kind of the same concept where a director was trying to make like the serious dramatic film and it turned out to be so cheesy and dumb and dull that it's just hilarious.
Yeah.
It's very within the same lines of The Room. It's called Troll 2 and it's hilarious. That was my, like, The Room was Troll 2 in college. Because
okay.
I had nothing, I had no idea what it was. A
oh,
buddy of mine,
wait, is that foreign film?
Well, it's a foreign director, but it's in English. It's made in America.
Okay.
It's like very
And it's
American.
Like a giant troll in the snow, right? Or
something? No.
Oh, never mind.
I think you're thinking Jack Frost.
Oh, the snowman
yeah,
one with
yeah,
Michael
yeah.
Keaton?
No, there's an actual horror film called Jack Frost.
Oh.
That came out like in 91 or something like that. I think almost around the same time as the Michael Keaton one.
Okay.
Where it's like a murderous psychopath snowman or something like that.
Oh, I feel like I know that one
yeah,
too.
Probably, yeah.
You know, it was also a bad, good movie. You ever seen Serial Mom?
Oh, I love that movie. That movie's great. But that's actually a good movie.
And
I mean, it's cheesy,
yeah.
But it's actually kind of a good movie. I think that movie is good because it's self-aware of it being kind of weird, no?
Yeah, it was. I saw it when I was a kid, though, and I was freaked
out.
Me
too, because my dad told me about it. He's like, you should see this movie. It's kind of good.
Who plays the mom?
I forget.
It's not Kathy Bates, is it?
I don't know. I have to look it up.
Okay.
Here, we can look it up real quick.
Okay.
But
Kathy Bates is a great actress.
Kathy Bates is a good actress.
Just want everyone to know that.
Yeah, well.
In Misery, that was great. I love that.
Yeah. Kathleen Turner.
She was...
Kathleen
oh,
Turner,
okay.
Yeah. Kathleen Turner was the mom. Sam Waterston was the dad. Ricky Lake was the sister.
Ricky Lake, the talk show host?
Is she a talk show host?
Yeah.
Oh, then I guess so, yeah.
I wonder if she was just in that.
And Matthew Lillard as the son.
Wow.
I
guy,
that, yeah.
Yeah, I remember him.
Scooby-Doo. Yeah, The Room's a good one.
Cool, yeah.
And then what's the last show, film, or TV show that really resonated with you, that you really enjoyed? Something that you've seen recently that you want to promote?
Is it okay if it's an old show?
Yeah, no, it can be from any time. It's just you just discovered it recently.
Oh, I didn't just discover it. I actually just binge watched it again.
Okay,
but,
cool. It can be that.
Well, I'll bring that up, and then I'll also bring up just another.
Sure.
The Sopranos.
Oh,
is one of the greatest shows of all time.
That's one of my parents' favorite shows.
It's,
yeah,
it's,
they
it's
love
great.
The Sopranos
from the beginning to end.
I still haven't seen it.
You should.
I know.
And
I
you
want
will
to.
Love it.
I want to. Yeah, because I have HBO, and I love like those mafia like shows stories. Yeah. So I'll get into it.
Yeah.
It's just a lot. It's a lot. You know.
It is a lot.
It's a commitment. So I'm just like, okay.
But you'll love it
as soon as I have time.
But of recent shows, I mean,
or movie.
I thought, even though it's maybe like a year old now, I liked Ready Player One.
Oh,
cool.
Did you? Yeah, I thought it was pretty good too.
Yeah.
I was excited for it because I someone told me about the book, and so I was like, okay, I'll check it out. So I read the book, and the book's great. That's why it was made into a film, because the book is so good.
Yeah.
And I think Spielberg picked it up, and he was like, all right, I'm going to make this, because it's like everything that I've made in films in one movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was so excited, and I was like, okay, it's not bad. But the book is so. I mean, that's usually how it is. Usually, the book is better than the film.
Usually.
But I liked the movie a lot. A lot of people didn't really like it. They said it was a lot of just like this, like 80s nostalgia. You know, pushing all that stuff. But
yeah.
I thought it was really cool. Man.
I liked it.
I liked it a lot.
You know, when we were talking about that, it just dawned on me.
Mm-hmm.
I recently, and this is also from a book, I finished watching the first three seasons of Man in the High Castle.
Okay.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah, yeah. The,
on
the,
Amazon.
Yeah, on Amazon Prime.
Like alternate reality.
Sure, sure. It's,
if
like the Nazis
if the Nazis had won, or sure, really sure. If Axis had won,
mm-hmm.
That's a pretty interesting subject.
Concept,
Because what if?
Yeah, what
I
if?
I mean,
yeah.
Gosh, it's scary to think about.
Yeah, I hear it's a pretty intense show.
It is, and it has little cheesy moments, but if you look past that,
yeah.
And if you like history,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I as I watched the show, I was also just like Googling like things about the actual war,
and a lot of
on both the Nazis and the Japanese side. And,
oh, really? And a lot of it is accurate.
Well, I mean, not. I wasn't looking things up in to see if what was right about the show,
mm-hmm.
but just in general, like
oh, because they talk about history and all that. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
You know, and they talk about. You know, different lieutenants and generals mm-hmm. and people that were at the top of the Nazi regime,
mm-hmm.
or the people that were at the top of the Japanese thing.
Yeah, I hear it's a really good show.
It's a good show, and it's a book too. And I haven't read the book.
But, oh, really?
But we'll see.
Well, let's talk about books real quick. Is there any books that you've read that you want to recommend?
You know, I'm all about that sci-fi fantasy.
Oh,
so,
yeah?
But I don't want to recommend those.
No, yeah, why not?
Well, I mean, I would, but like. Something more, I would rather, you know what? The Hero's Journey by Joseph Campbell is a really cool one.
Really? What's that about?
Oh, God. I can't explain ever like what he talks about. So, like, the gist of it is really about consciousness, our human consciousness.
Sure.
And following your bliss is kind of like one thing
he says. I would say that. We're in the generation where those books are probably the most popular right now. Those are the type of things that people want to read. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think people are becoming more and more in tune with finding their true selves and you know, discovering who they want to become or who they've always been. They really want to grow into someone better and you know, and they really want to find out how deep their conscious or their heart can really go, you know? So yeah, they want to discover more about themselves. And I think that's what people are really starting to read now. So,
yeah, I mean, it definitely speaks to me, mm-hmm. all that stuff. And especially being an artist and a musician, it's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, being a musician, it's fun to do,
mm-hmm.
but in the work world, it might not be so, appreciated maybe, mm-hmm. you know, I mean,
Unless you're
in the record or the music business and you're some executive or something, or
a lot of artists, they really have to do everything on their own for free for a long time until they can be a part of a team with more support and money involved. You know
right.
what I mean?
I agree.
So it's a lot of just like doing stuff for yourself and hoping that it catches on until you actually start getting paid for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the hardest part. And I think, I don't know. I was actually listening to a podcast today. Have you heard of Conan O'Brien's new podcast?
No.
It's called Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. I love Conan O'Brien. I think he's hilarious. I think he's super smart and funny. But he has a podcast where he just talks to people that he wants to, you know, chat with. And he had one with Stephen Colbert, and they had both came to an agreement that as much as they hate the struggle, they are so thankful that they had it because it basically gave them the tools they needed to get to where they needed to
be. I'd like to hear that one.
Oh, it's amazing.
I'd like to hear Rags to Riches.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And they both come from like a lot of like struggle and family trauma and stuff like that. So to hear that, to me, what I love to hear is artists, you know, whether it's an interview or a book, who have dealt with certain things that I felt like are similar to what I've dealt with. So it makes me feel more at base. It makes me feel more comfortable with what my decisions and the things that I've been doing, because I don't feel alone. I don't feel scared, because I'm like, look, if they can do it, if they've been through this, I think I can get through it too. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So that's why, like, for books, I like to read books, I like stories. Like I actually read Leonard Cohen's autobiography, books about Steve Martin. And there's things that they talk about where I struggle with too. And I'm like, cool. I'm not the only one who thinks about this. I'm not the only one who feels this way. You know, a lot of artists, they do sort of use the same tools, the same colors. And it's just a matter of learning how to use him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just, it's nice to relate. It's nice to know that you're not alone. You know what I mean? So yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to, any other books you would like to talk about or recommend? Something that really stuck to you recently or that you remember reading as a kid, maybe in high school or something?
I mean, I don't want to say Harry Potter and The Hobbit, but
that's great, man. That's Rachel's favorite books. Yeah, you know,
I still love them.
Yeah, because so you're a fantasy guy. You love like Lord of the Rings. You know, J.R.R. Tolkien. You love J.K. Rowling. You know, or Rowling. I don't know which one it is.
I'm not sure either. But
yeah. Yeah, I mean, know,
I just like I, it for I was the never entertainment.
Really, I was never really into fiction. I was more into nonfiction. I didn't read a lot as a kid, so I'm reading more now. What about like self-help books? You ever found those interesting?
Yeah, but I mean, the only thing I've really read of those of that style is the Joseph Campbell stuff.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
I mean, it's not. It's I wouldn't say it's a self-help book
or his
way of writing, but it you still are gonna help yourself if you're into it and you're it's a message that's vibing within you.
Sure.
It's gonna be
anything that resonates in you know your heart and your soul.
Exactly.
Yeah. What's the book called again?
The Hero's Journey is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's also another book called, I think it's called Conversations with...
From a Room?
No, but Conversations with Joe Campbell or something like that.
Okay, cool.
You know Bill Moyers? He's like an interviewer guy.
Yeah, I think so.
There's a book about it. It's the conversation. Literally, it's kind of like written like a kind of like a script in a way.
This is Joseph Campbell?
Joseph Campbell's the dude. Right.
So we'll look that up, see what we can find from him.
Yeah, it's also on Netflix, too.
Okay. We'll probably just do that, honestly.
Oh, no. It's called it's called The Power of Myth.
Okay, yeah, it sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Do you do anything in your life that helps you with finding inspiration, for example, for your art? Like, if it's meditating or listening to music, watching a good movie?
Listening to a lot of music
makes
me want to record and makes me want to write.
I'm the same exact way with movies and TV. If I watch a good show or like a good movie, or even if it's like a so-so, there might be one line or one scene where I'm like, wow, that's good. I want to use aspects of that.
Yeah.
So let's merge into music. What are some bands or some you know, musicians that you use for inspiration?
You know, I wouldn't say I write like him, but I do like his writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like the way he uses his words, Morrissey from the Smiths.
For sure, yeah.
It's just he's very kind of gloom,
but
also addresses it. And his play on words is really cool to me.
Yeah.
I also like...
Is the Smiths one of your favorite bands?
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah.
I don't make music like that,
but
I do like to listen to it a lot. And, you know... Beatles, for sure. I mean, who doesn't them? But
What I noticed, too, it's like I like writing comedy, but sometimes I'll watch like a really gory horror film because I feel like you can watch anything that kind of inspires, you know? You can be a musician who does like, you know, jazz, but you love listening to pop, you know what I mean? As long as it inspires you and resonates you and hits some sort of vein in you that just sparks creativity. It could be anything.
Yeah.
Is there another type of music group or what? How about like a type of genre that you sort of cater to more?
I mean... When the whole country thing came into my life,
sure,
I like the straight to the point kind of approach that the lyrics are.
Yeah,
and a lot of it is about I could relate to it because a lot of it is about heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is about you know drinking too much. They even have songs about the road.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's what really called out to me.
Yeah, I'd say folk and country are very, very similar. I mean, they're hand to hand. You know what I mean? They're almost the same thing. I would say folk is just a little bit more poppy. You know?
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to say poppy, but it's a little bit more contemporary, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
I feel like people, the common ear would probably go for folk more than country.
Yeah.
Because you know, I get it. Country can be a little. And when I say country, I really want to clarify, not pop country. That's not. To me, it's not really country. It's more of just kind of like pop rock, soft rock with a twang.
Any country singers you can recommend?
Yeah, I mean, Merle Haggard's one of the greatest
country
singers I've ever... George Jones is one of my favorites as well.
I actually haven't checked these out.
I like Tammy Wynette as well.
Really?
Dolly Parton.
Okay. So these are... You're talking about old school.
Yeah, I mean... the country that I listen to is, I guess, anything from 1980 and down.
Okay. Or
before 1980, I should say.
Sure.
And not because of any reason. I mean, there was a production quality that the 80s offered that just didn't really, I didn't like it too much.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about the 90s country. And then after that, I'm just like, I'm hearing these pop country songs just sing about nothing that really resonates with me, I guess you could say.
When you first started making music, did you originally start doing country folk, or was there another sort of genre? Or
no.
Sort of, what did you?
Punk music.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, my music, when I started really getting into music, it was, I was already in my teens, so it was like the 2000s, but I was really interested in 90s punk. Like, I loved Green Day. I loved Nirvana. I loved REM. I loved Radiohead. You know what I mean? Like, those were my bands. You know what I mean? So, and I think that's probably why, too, because that was kind of our generation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we grew up with Nirvana. That.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Till
today, like, one of my favorite albums. Have you heard the MTV Unplugged Nirvana album?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Great. It's up. Before I start, I think my dog farted. So if you smell anything, it's coming from over here.
I'm all clogged up here, so I can't even smell anything.
But so punk is kind of what you were aiming towards.
Yeah, I mean, so like in middle school, I was taking guitar class during lunch or guitar club, whatever it's called. And then you're learning all your open chords and stuff and learning how to hold it and hold the guitar and all that. And I had like a cheap acoustic. And then I got to high school. And, while I was in middle school, I learned how to play the saxophone, so I was in concert band. But when I got to high school, there wasn't a winds teacher for trumpet and orchestra and all that stuff, and saxophone. And, but I now know how to play the saxophone, so what am I going to do, you know? And then I met some friends who actually were in the same band now. Like, this is how I said earlier about how we've been in different bands together. They had like a ska band. It wasn't really ska though at all.
I think in the 2000s, in the mid 2000s, everyone in high school had a ska band. I had a best friend in high school who was in a ska band, the Scumatics.
Scumatics?
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to the Scumatics, Elliot Evans, and I think Andy Anaya, some of those guys. Yeah. If you guys are listening, what's up? But yeah, they would go perform at the churches. We would go watch them for like $5 a pop.
That's so funny. I used to practice at a church because it's the only place that'll let you.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why they did it there too. Yeah. It was great, man. Yeah. Best acoustics. Yeah. You know, it was great. Yeah.
But then that fell apart and I still knew guitar too. I was a drummer too back then, but guitar was like always what I really wanted to do. I love the distortion and I love power chords.
Yeah, yeah.
And so like, I did a lot of punk stuff in my teens, and then like maybe like 1920, I tried to go after like that indie rock sound, like Arctic Monkeys, Stroke style kind of thing.
Yeah. What about like a guitarist or a banjo player, like a specific artist that you like to listen to that you relate to the most?
I mean, for the banjo stuff, I listen to a lot of Earl Scruggs, Flattened Scruggs. Mm-hmm. A lot of the just like the old style banjo, fast banjo picking guys. And Sonny Osborne's another awesome banjo player from that time. Well, a little after Earl Scruggs, but still around the time. But like songwriters, I really like, I like Tom Waits' style.
Tom Waits is great.
But there's a particular album called The Early Years Volume 2 that really, really resonated with me.
By Tom Waits?
By Tom Waits.
What's it called?
And it's called The Early Years, Volume 2. Really? And I guess it's the Early Years. And I
one
know,
of his earliest albums that I know is Closing Time. Before that, I can't think of any of his old
I think
stuff.
That's one, too, that I like.
Yeah.
But I know Tom Waits, a lot of people, when they think of him, they think of that grovelly, gritty, like, you know, style of voicing
like
that
Cash,
he does.
Yeah.
But that Early Years album, it's not like that at all. It's not growly at all. It's very, it's just not, he's got a nice voice like that.
Well, it's like Closing Time. That's why I like Closing Time, because it's more of like a pretty tone. You know, it sounds nice. It sounds like he's singing from his heart. You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's
that album's more folky than his usual jazzy style kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, why not? Johnny Cash is in there too.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't like my favorite. I feel like Johnny Cash though is a good medium for people when it comes to country. Because he also has like a rockabilly vibe in a way.
Yeah, he's more mainstream.
Yeah, and I feel like he's more universal to people. Like if somebody doesn't like country, maybe they'll like Johnny Cash. Though, sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So who else?
What's your goal for as a musician? Like where do you want to be in like 10 years?
Oh man, I mean, you know, I dream a lot.
Yeah.
I want to play big stages. I want to play big.
Yeah, you want to go big.
I want to play like, you know, I don't know, the Wiltern would be cool.
Or, yeah, maybe, of course, yeah.
I know there's bigger places than that too, like Hollywood Bowl would be neat to do. I mean, I don't know how you get to that point, especially with this kind of music, but I know it is possible.
Just keep doing what you're doing, man. Yeah. Just keep doing it, you know. It'll resonate,
I will say that I don't want to be famous, but I do want to be influential. If that's reasonable goal.
No, that sounds beautiful. You know? Yeah, because you're humble. You know, you're not doing this for the money. You're doing this for the people. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you're doing it for yourself. You know.
Yeah, you know, I can't.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want to throw the towel in because it's like
it's exhausting.
You're not. You know, I'm playing bars right now, and most of the time people aren't going to come to the bars.
Yeah. Unless you. How much longer can I do this until I need to get a 9-to-5? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I'm doing a lot of freelance work, so I can do this.
That's how we met. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So.
You know.
I just want to keep doing it and then just see where it takes me. And it's so far taking me to pretty cool places.
And I honestly, man, I think you're what you've got so far is very strong, and I think you should keep it up. And I'm more than excited to hear, you know, your future work. So great, I'm one of your biggest fans already. So
wow, thank you.
Yeah, of course, man. All right, man. So let's get into our closing. I like to ask the guests at the end of the show a very simple question. What is your dream, your go-to, your favorite breakfast?
Oh, man. You know what? I love hash browns.
Oh, I love hash browns.
Love hash browns. And
I haven't had hash browns in a while, too. You don't see them as much anymore.
No, I mean, no, because I don't know why, but...
We've come to the generation where everything is, like, not deep fried. Everything is, like, fresh.
Yeah.
You know, if you want potatoes, they'll give you, like, fresh cut potatoes. No, give me those deep fried, crunchy-ass hash browns. Those are the best, aren't they?
I like bacon, over-easy eggs, pancakes, and hash browns.
All-American breakfast.
That's good for me there, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah, so you're a pretty traditional all-American breakfast.
I guess that's awesome, dude.
Yeah, that is, like, when you think of breakfast, like, paint a picture of breakfast. It's bacon, eggs, hash browns, and, like, a cup of milk. That's awesome.
Hey, I still drink the cup of milk.
Yeah, for sure. Same here. Are you a dairy guy? Or are you almond milk?
I'm not really, like, a dairy guy, but I like milk.
Yeah,
same
here.
I like milk with cookies.
Sure, yeah.
oh, my God, dude. I wasn't really a sweet person growing up. Like, I wasn't into sweets or anything like that.
You are now.
Like, it's becoming a problem.
It's becoming a problem.
Well, maybe not a problem, but I better slow down.
See someone.
I better not, like, eat it like I'm eating chips or something, you know?
That's cool, man. So, yeah. And so, basically, a good old American breakfast, as long as it has a side of hash browns.
Yeah, I love hash browns. That's odd. Me too, man. Get down with McDonald's hash browns.
McDonald's hash browns are pretty damn good. Is there a breakfast place here in Los Angeles that you'd like to recommend or you like going to?
Well, I also like breakfast burritos.
Oh, so, I am a huge advocate for breakfast burritos. There's a place probably my favorite thing is breakfast burritos.
Yeah, they can be really good.
Yeah, they can be great.
Yeah.
I think even when they're not that good, they're still great.
Do you know a place called Tacos Via Corona in Atwater Village?
No, I actually... The taco place I usually go to in Atwater is Hugo's.
Never been there, but it smells so good.
It's great. You should go, man. It's awesome. They have really good ice cream too.
Okay,
you can settle your sweet tooth over there.
See, but I'm not an ice cream guy. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, they have ice cream and they have a pretty good horchata too, which is really good. Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
Well, try that place out too, though. Tacos Via Corona.
Tacos Via Corona.
They usually have a long wait because it's a tiny little hole in the wall place. Yeah.
A lot of places in LA have to order on the sidewalk. Little hole in the walls that are usually the best.
That one's good, and. I like a good Mexican breakfast too.
Same
you ever
here,
heard of
yeah.
Barragán's restaurant?
No.
There used to be one in Echo Park that closed down a few years ago. There's one in Glendale and Burbank now.
Yeah.
It's Mexican family
breakfast
owned.
Is usually pretty good. It's very close to American where it's like a lot of eggs, a lot of cheese.
Yeah, they have that.
Yeah,
for
sure. Potatoes. Yeah, yeah.
But they just kind of do their own thing. And
yeah, for sure.
I love like chorizo and.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For your vegans out there, there's soy riso.
Yeah. And that's good too.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah.
I don't tell a difference for that one.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah, so. In fact, I don't know why you're asking about breakfast, but I can eat breakfast any time of the day, even for dinner, just so you
that's
know.
That's the thing. It's like I always ask because breakfast to me is my favorite meal of the day. Dude. I can eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pancakes for dinner, done.
Easy.
Awesome.
I love, I don't even know if they're real syrups, but at IHOP, they have like blueberry, strawberry syrup.
I like how you said, I don't know if they're real, but they're good, aren't they?
Yeah. Butter pecan.
I don't know if they're real either. Yeah, I know.
But they're great.
Yeah, they're artificial. I don't know, but they're good. Yeah. Yeah, IHOP's the best.
Yeah.
IHOP. All right, man. Well, thank you so much again for being here. I had a wonderful time.
Oh,
I'm
me
so
too.
Glad
thanks,
you were
dude.
Able to, you're able to perform a song for us. So yeah, I guess if we have some time, maybe I might play City of Angels at the end. Is
sure.
that cool? Great, man.
Sure.
For my sign off, I like to start a sentence and then let the guest finish it. Is that cool?
Cool.
Do you want to finish it with a guitar? A little
lick or something?
Yeah, a little lick. There
sure.
you go.
Sure.
So I usually say, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to Conversations from a Room. Have a nice night and...
stay cool out there, LA.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Let me tell you about a town with so many. The traffic too much. The people are plenty and have had enough. The parking's not anything to compare. Some come with big wishes. Some come unprepared. On the west side of town, the rent isn't cheap. The East ain't much better, good luck counting sheep. They hustle their ass off to just make ends meet and lose count of those who call home in the street. Some were born here with nothing, some migrated by train. Now I'm sure that for one thing, soon they'll run out of space. And they'll get off at 5 just to be home by 7. Sometimes right at 8, 9, 10, or 11. On a bright sunny day, you could look for the mountains, but the air is so hazy, it's something they've forgotten. There's a Prius next door that's supposed to help some. The more folks that stay, the more folks you see frontin'. Now don't get me wrong, there's a lot more untouched. You know where you are with the mass of grub trucks. And now you can get a grilled cheese for $10.50. No side or drink either, since they closed down the thrifties. Were you born here with nothing? Did you migrate by plane? Now I'm sure that for one thing, not for one need a change. And do you get off at 5 just to be home by 7? For the city of angels don't feel much like heaven. No, the city of angels don't feel much like heaven.